This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in the fellas as they're back in studio, our former Blues defenseman, Jamie Rivers, and former Blues enforcer, Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
Just looking to get after it here, Cromes. Looking to pump some oxygen into this place.
Yeah?
Yep.
I got to tell you, I went off the rails a little bit Monday.
Yeah, I heard.
And my going off the rails completely backed up by a just wasted game Tuesday night against the Wild. You guys are going to have to convince me how I'm wrong. You have to convince me how I'm wrong.
Oh, hang on. Now you feel like you know something?
No, not at all. No, I don't feel like I know anything. I tell you what I feel like. I feel like a fan that's had enough. That's what I feel like, to be completely honest with you. I don't know. I'm frustrated.
Were you drinking?
Sorry. No. No.
Anything at all?
No. I've just seen enough of some guys. I'm sorry.
I heard it was a little bit of a rant that may have been alcohol-induced.
No. No. I've had my share of alcohol-induced rants before.
Any medicinal marijuana involved?
No. 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 And I was medicated that day.
That's legal in Illinois now, isn't it?
What? Yeah. I think so. Marijuana? I could probably... Listen, here's the deal.
Medical.
How about this? The way they're playing at times, I bet I could go get a card. I bet I could. I bet I could walk in the doctor and say, listen, I've been a Blues fan my whole life. And the guy would look right at me and go, you need this. And probably give me a card.
How many games above 500 are they?
I don't care.
Well, but it's important to my question. Can you find out, please?
I will do that.
I know. You're the guy.
I will do that. As our buddy Fish would say, who we probably should have back on because what great stories he has about the old barn, get on my computer box here.
Yeah, because I want to know, I understand the performance the other night.
It isn't just the other night,
but listen, I'm not done.
Okay,
the performance the other night is certainly something that we need to be concerned about, but I'm just trying to get an overall feel here as to where they're at and how many games above 500 they're at.
They are 32-20 and 3 losses.
Okay, so technically, 12 games above 500.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Titanic isn't sinking then. Is what I'm saying.
Well, I feel like we've...
Is it taking on water slowly?
Well, we are taking on water slowly.
Oh, there
Thank
he is,
you,
folks.
Darren.
Say.
Thank you.
Slowly taking on water.
We woke up the big man. It's going to get ugly now.
No. Well, again...
I'll tell you what, one thing I do know.
Okay,
And I'm not blaming the goalies.
One thing.
One thing.
This is the only thing I might even know today. I might be done after this. But I know Jake Allen's not a backup. Because the two games that they shit the bed were... He's had to come in and back him up. He must not have the mentality to come in and play.
Well, you know what, though? It's interesting you bring that up because being a backup goalie is a talent. It really is. And, Kimby, I can speak to this, and I'm not going to speak for you, and you can tell us about it, but I know as a player, as my career went on, like when I got healthy scratched or that, I didn't play a lot, and then they come back to you and they play you, like, they don't want a guy who looks like he hasn't played in two or three games. They want a guy who looks like he played the night before.
Correct.
And it became a talent for me. And it actually, believe it or not, it got me a contract with the Red Wings near the end of my career. Because they were like, no matter how many games this guy's in or out or how much he plays, he comes and gives us the same performance. Now, it may have been a shitty performance, but it was consistent, right? So my point being is, and I don't know if you went through the same thing, and you can speak to that in a second, but Jake Allen, he's not used to being a backup.
Nope, not at all.
So, you know, and the Carter Hutton, like it became a talent for him. And Jamie McLennan, way back in the day, like it was a talent to be the backup goalie.
Guys made a lot of money off that shit, man.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, though, and again, I'll stress this before I even get going. Goaltending's not the Blues' issue. That's not the Blues' issue right now.
I agree.
You know, we got way more to throw on the oven than that thing. But I believe there's a fire burning there because Hutton come in. He played so well. And then, unfortunately, they have a bad outing, and he's going to take some of the responsibility for it. Because goaltenders always do usually when they get like a 6-1, someone's not ready. And you know, if you play the game long enough, it's not just the goaltender. You know, there's a lot of shit going on. But, I was watching the game on and Johnson, the guy, he was where JR and them, MSNBC Sports there, they had the game on that night at the Wild. But I think Johnson was the guy. Isn't it Johnson, one of the reporters?
Johnson.
No, who's the defenseman? Who's the old defenseman? He does the NHL Network. Skinny little shit there.
Brian Lawton?
No, not Lawton. Nope. Anyway, he was sitting there, he doesn't know if he can trust Hutton as a number one because he's never been a number one. And then, this happens. And if you even associate yourself with hockey and been around it, now it puts question marks in your, you know, because he has never been a number one. He's on a roll, and then
it's taxing.
Yeah, every goalie has bad games. The best in the world have bad games, but it's a hot topic in St. Louis right now, and there's way bigger trouble than just the goaltending. But, you know, it's a story that's running around here, and it'll run for a while yet.
You bring up a real interesting point there, and it's bang on, is, you know, we talk about Jake Allen not being a backup goalie or not having that talent to be a backup goalie. I'm not saying Carter Hutton doesn't have talent to be a starting goalie, but it's a different animal.
Oh, yeah.
When you start 60, 65 games in a season,
that's what he said. Yeah,
it's way different than starting 20 or 22. Like your body has to be conditioned to play that many games. You have to be able to be quiet in the net, as they say, to minimize the amount of work you have to do to make the saves. It's difficult. So now you've got two goalies.
Mike Johnson, wasn't he a defenseman, Mike Johnson?
No, he was a winger.
Was he?
Played with him in Phoenix. Good guy. Great hair.
You're like Kevin Bacon, the 6 degrees of Rivers.
Pretty much. When you play on almost every team in the league, it is about 2 degrees of separation. Now, where I was headed with this is we have a unique situation because you have two goalies right now that are both technically out of their comfort zone. Because Carter Hutton has assumed, it's like Bizarro World, right?
Yeah.
Carter Hutton has taken over Jake Allen's job, and Jake Allen has been put into Carter Hutton's job, and neither of them are 100% comfortable in their new roles. So this is going to be interesting. And now the biggest question, and we know it's coming, who starts for the Blues next game? Who starts?
Oh, you got to start Allen.
Do you think?
You have to.
Hang on now. I'm going to be that guy. Or does Mike Yeo once again, just like he did against Arizona, does he once again say, it's not Carter Hutton's fault, we were horse shit, I'm coming back with Hutsy so that, you know, because it wasn't a goaltender problem.
Here's, and Rivs, where you're going, I understand, because he's coaching, he has to coach a team right now because you're in a dogfight to make the playoffs. I don't give a shit if you're 4 points, you're only 4 points up out of 8 points.
They're right in a dogfight.
You're in a shit show here right now, so... You got to go down here. So he's got to, over the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, let's go, your best goaltender's Ben Hutton. Allen had a great game against Boston. He sort of gets screwed on the one call and all that nonsense that goes on. But he played well. And then he come back, so then Hutton gets this, and then he comes in to back up.
Which I don't think he could have done anything anyways.
No.
So no matter what, he was going to be in a tough one there.
So, yeah, I don't know what Yeo does. You know, he did it the last time he did it when they shit the bed against Arizona. He come back with Hutton because it was the guy was playing the hotter hand.
He blamed the team for it, not the goalies, right? And he wanted to make sure. And as a coach, as you know, Kimby, like, you want to make sure that you don't lose your goalies.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So now he's going to sit there in his office with the other coaches and say, well, do we come back with Jake Allen? Mm-hmm. And then, even though we know it's not Carter Hutton's fault, is the perception of that wrong? Or do I come back with Carter Hutton specifically, not because on paper it's the right move to do, but specifically to show that you still believe in this guy and that he's still a great goalie and that everybody still has confidence in him?
And here's one way you can answer this question. I'll guarantee you Mike Yo has had a conversation with Mr. Allen, and I'd like to know what that conversation was, because he's had something, because you're a coach, you obviously have to communicate, because like you just said, you don't want to lose your goaltenders, and I don't care what anyone says, Allen is still your number one goalie. You're going to live and die with him just yet. But what was that conversation that Yo has had with Allen to, you know, because he's got to keep him rolling. And if he's going again with Hutton here, he's got to be doing some communication. You got to be, you know, you got to be a man of many thumbs here to get going down that avenue. You know, keep this guy happy, keep this guy happy, you know.
Well, now we're bordering on, you know, something that's different, okay?
Because Allen's going to start questioning shit.
Well,
this
is what, exactly. And I agree with what you're saying. And where it gets dangerous here is now if you come back with Hutton too often.
Yeah.
Now maybe, possibly, and I hope it's not true, but maybe you lose Jake Allen. Maybe he's like, well, you know, his confidence or, you know, I don't think, he doesn't have the type of personality to me, knowing him the way I do, that he would just give up because he's just not that guy. Nope. However, the fact of the matter is that things haven't been going good for him, and if he starts to feel like no matter what he does, he can't get the job done, and no matter what he does, he's not going to get the opportunity, it affects your performance. It just does. It starts to, you know, Kimby, it starts to affect your life in general, not just at the rink, at home, everything. You're like, you can't drive down the road without thinking about it. You can't go get a coffee at Starbucks without somebody asking you about it. You can't listen, you can't watch normal TV without it coming up. So this is tough territory that we're venturing into.
And we'll get off this because I think we got some bigger fish to fry today than these goalies, because I think we've been hammering the goalies, but...
but this is interesting now. The dynamic is getting a little bit different now.
But this summer, I'm going to fast forward just a little bit here. Army's going to have... Because Allen's gone, he's gone missing last year, and then he come back and had a great thing. He's sort of, they're sort of out there again. People are, you know, it's on the NHL Network. They're talking about, well, he's gone missing again here.
Yeah.
You know, if it starts to become a habit, as a GM, as a coach, you're going to wonder, well, where, you know, do I have the right guy in place right now?
That's going to be tough.
And that's all I said Monday, is that here it is.
Oh, here he comes now.
No, seriously. Here he comes now. That's what I said.
Did you see how calm I was when I delivered that, though?
Well, we were. I was, too.
And you're looking like a tomato again.
No. That's what I said. I said very calm. I said, is it time? I mean, do you really want to deal with it again, maybe? Maybe it's time to move on.
But what are the options, guys?
I don't know.
You're not going to resign Hutton. You're not going to resign Hutton. And I know right now, Blues Nation is going to be, what the hell you mean you're not going to resign? You're not. You're just not, because you have years that are owed to Jake Allen, I think two, maybe three more years, whatever it's at three and a half.
Well, more than that.
Four.
We got to get there yet, guys.
What I'm saying, though, is you got an unrestricted free agent. So Carter Hutton, right now at this point, let's flip the coin here, okay? Carter Hutton won't resign here because Carter Hutton can get more money and a better opportunity somewhere else.
If the rest of the year plays out like it's playing out right now, where he comes in and keeps doing what he's doing, he's showing it. Riz,
but right now he's the talk of the town.
Yeah, but there's a guy that, like I said, when I watch Johnson on the NHL Network, he just throws in the air guys that have been around the game, and there's GMs that have been around the game a lot of time, and they're listening to more shit than we're hearing. And Hutton comes up and he lays an egg, and then the guy's sitting there saying, has he ever been a starter?
No, I know, but look at what's his name. Look at Andrew Hammond.
Are you going to pay $4 million for a backup goddamn
goaltender? No, but listen to me for a second. Do you remember Andrew Hammond in Ottawa, the Hamburglar there? He came up and played like 15, 16, maybe 20 games where they went on a run and made the playoffs. They were like, oh, my God, right? Hasn't played well since. He got a three-year deal at whatever the money was. I forget now. Doesn't really matter. But they've been trying to find a spot for him for 3 years because he hasn't been any good.
But what I was saying, though, so all he's been is a backup. Hutton's age is in the ballgame, too.
I agree.
Is there a GM going to go out there and give him $4 million to sit there and we don't know if he's going to be my starter or not? I don't know. That's a gamble, isn't it?
It's a gamble. I just think that
if I'm sitting on the other side of the fence and I'm looking at what's going on in St. Louis, and if I'm looking for a goaltender, I'd go after Jake Allen before I go after him because the money's sitting there. I know what I'm going to get. This guy's supposed to be the starter. Yeah, he's had a couple things, you know, but I'm just playing options.
You can go after him, but the Blues know they have him under contract, and they know whether they want to discuss it or not, they know they're going to lose Carter Hutton.
Yeah, but the question is, if this is going on, Riz, is what I'm asking, do they want, if the going missing for 2 or 3 weeks in a season, and then...
Is it habitual?
And the Blues have made a big idea of it. You know, they're the ones that said, when Ken Hitchcock was here, they had to send him away, you know, so... Which is stupid. Yeah. And, you know, people ruin people by doing stuff like
here's
that.
Here's my question, adding on to this, then who's up next for the Blues? Well, goaltender.
It's not. I know who your next backup's coming because he's the guy. Husso's the guy that should be coming.
Okay, but you know, I can get a backup in fucking Brentwood Hockey League.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
I'm not being disrespectful. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you've got to find a starter. You've got to find that 65-game starter.
Correct. Correct.
And he's not there right now.
But is Jake right there right now? Do we know that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a question.
But if you get rid of Jake and you're going to lose Carter Hutton, now you're stuck with Ville Husso. Yeah,
for sure. I'm not saying.
I want to say stuck. That's a bad choice of words. People should know what I'm talking about. Like, he's your guy, and that's that.
If you're making a deal, though, and Jake Allen's in the deal, I'm guarantee you're looking for something coming back that's going to cover your ass.
But what do you think?
Or you have
back?
A plan? Or you have a plan in free agency?
Carey Price.
Okay. Oh my God! Here he goes. Joey Tomato over here.
I don't know. Well, it makes sense now where the rumors came from, whether they were true or not.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
That's
10.5 million.
Sure.
I'm not even going down that road again. But my point to you, Kimby, is if you doubt Jake Allen, and you're saying Lee.
Well, I'm not done.
No, but you know what I'm saying. You're saying he has these pockets where he doesn't play well.
Yeah.
If you're talking about it, and Mike Johnson's talking about it, or whoever, and if the rest of the league is talking about it, who is going to give you a guy back in that trade?
Yeah, I don't.
Right? I'm just taking. Let's get the whole thing on a dry erase board here and try to figure it out. Yeah. And the problem is that if you try to get rid of Jake Allen, what are you getting in return? Right? Yep. Who's going to part with their number one goalie coming back to you?
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm going after. I don't know what the free agency market. Who's going to be the defenders out there? I don't know the
still,
whole.
Still, but you got to imagine that the free agency goalies are going to get scooped up pretty quick.
Yeah,
and Carter Hutton's one of them.
But you could become a buyer pretty damn quick then.
You could, but then you still have a lot of guys to sign with little cap space.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it seems like
and you already have a guy who's proven that he can play 60 games.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
You know, maybe he can't get the 82 in, but he can get 60.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, it seems like we've went all over the board here and jumped right into our renovated company segments because we're hot and cold. We're talking about the way the team's been constructed, and let's face it, at times has been electric, and I can handle that. But again, my rant Monday was typically I'm just a frustrated fan. I'm not all that excited about watching games right now because I don't like the way they play. I just don't. It seems a little boring to me. I'm sorry.
Well, that's I'm not going to disagree. I was down at Scott Trade yesterday. And without getting into too much detail, first of all, here, let me backtrack. I was at practice rink yesterday and then was at Scott Trade yesterday evening. And right now there is a sense of there's worry, okay? Because when you come out and you play a game, where everybody plays like shit from time to time. It just happens. But when you play a game that looks uninspired or without emotion and you know, you have guys after the game, I don't want to say robotic or rehearsed because that's unfair because you lost a game and you're trying not to freak out and stuff. But at some point, like one of these guys has to step up and they have to be, you know, spitting out the side of their mouth. The steam has to be coming out their ears. Like somebody has to, like, and I'm not saying that going out and starting a brawl is the thing to do, okay? Because those days are gone. But there's nothing stopping you from going out there and playing an inspired bit of hockey, meaning go in and finish your hits, drop in front of shots. Like, give me something energetic that not just the fans can pull energy out of, but the rest of your team can look at it and go, you know, holy shit, player X over here, he's really laying on the line. You know, he's finishing all his hits. He's blocking shots. He's back-checking like a son of a bitch. He's energetic on the bench. He's going. You know, he's in the referee's ear. He's, you know, either he's positive or negative at times. But, you know, Kimby, you've had those guys.
I got two questions for you because now that we're going this way. So the first question is, and I don't want you to answer right now because we'll get to it. I want to know if Thompson was hurt, and that's what I want to know. That's my biggest question first because that's the first thing that came to my mind when I found out about it. And so that we'll get that on the page. So now where you're going and talking, I question the leadership on the St. Louis Blues. And it's not Petro. I'm not questioning him. He's part of it. It's not sole purpose. You've had the same six forwards here for 2 or 3 years that have ran your top two lines basically. And you're a good team. You're a good team. Whether we're going to blame them or are we going to blame the bottom six? They keep getting. We change the bottom six all the time, and and they're supposed to be the life of the organization. So is it their fault? Or like, because I'm telling you right now, and I'll go right out there in St. Louis land, Mr. Tarasenko is just showing me the horseshittest attitude I've ever seen. For a guy, for if you're an elite, and he's an, and he is an elite athlete at the, in the hockey sense, because he's got skills that people don't have. He shoots the puck, and I wish, and you're at the rink, and you probably see Holly around sometimes, because that's the guy I would like to get into Holly's. Because when I played with Holly, all the shit that went on or whatever, but he competed, though. I don't care what anyone says. He competed, and he knew his job was to score goals for the St. Louis Blues, and that's the only thing. It wasn't to back check. It wasn't to do none of that shit, but Holly took a big responsibility in saying, I got to score goals for this team. And that's what his goal, and you know, everyone talks about his defense. That's not what he was here for. He was here to score goals, and that was in Holly's mind, and he was great at it. And I think Tarasenko better figure this out. You're here to score goals, and that's your job, and you're on every damn power play. You're out there, but show me some life, kid. Show me some life. Get something going in the ball game. And, you know, you're a leader on this team. You've been here a long time now. He's got to take that role, but because these other guys that are coming up the ladder, and especially in these four kids that are going to be coming eventually, this is the guy they're looking to because this is their superstar. What does he do? Like when I looked at when I was playing, and I had nothing to do. My game and Brett Hall's game were so far north and south poles, so that's how far that was. But I respected the man because he come every night, and he did his job. And I respect that. But are we getting that out of our top player? I don't think so.
Well here's where we have a difference in, not you and I, there's a difference in the player, okay, that we're talking about. Brett Hull, and people can say whatever they want. One, unless you're in the locker room with the guy, and unless you've been down that road with the guy, you don't understand how bad he wants to score goals and how bad he wants to be successful.
Yep.
And ultimately how bad he wanted to win. And not only did it show later on in his career, but it came out in spades.
Yep.
When he won cups with Dallas and then specifically with Detroit, when he won the cup as a third liner, mm-hmm, and didn't care and played his role and still went out and scored goals.
Yep.
So now let's just do this for a second. Brett Hull is a different level of player
than
Vladdy Tarasenko is.
Yep.
And maybe ever will be.
Yep.
Okay. But if we're going to draw some comparables around the league, let's look at guys like Steven Stamkos. Okay. Now, he's an elite player and whatnot, but if you look at his points total and you look at Tarasenko's, they're very comparable in the last couple years, even when, you know, even taking out the injuries that Stamkos has had and whatnot. But if you look at Stamkos on the ice, like, he's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when things are going bad, he's like, get on my back, and yep, I'm going, you know, and I'm going to block shots. I'm going to shoot the puck every time I can. I'm going to crash the net. I'm going to be animated about this, and I don't think everybody has to be animated. That's not necessarily my point.
Our goaltenders do, though.
But what I'm saying is, like, we have Petro, who's not an animated captain, okay?
Correct.
We have Steiner, who maybe not an animated captain. We have Tarasenko, that now is not an animated captain. You can only have, just like if you had three animated guys, it'd be too much.
Yep.
Well, now we have too little.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, a guy like Vladdy, first of all, he's only got two goals in, what, the last 10 games? Like, that's unacceptable. I'm sorry. It's unacceptable. You know, you're a 40-goal scorer, projected to be 50-goal scorer at one point, which it's not going to happen. But at one point, they're like, holy shit, this guy could compete for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the league's top goal scorer. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got two goals in his last 10 games, I believe. Where is he when it matters?
Exactly.
And they need him now. And you can't say he's not playing with good line mates. You can't say anything about Schwartzy. You can't say Shen or anybody. Like, he's got the line mates. Like you said, the top six is the top six.
Yep.
Like, Connor McDavid isn't coming in anytime soon to play with Vladdy Tarasenko.
Nope.
Neither is Crosby. So at some point, and you know what? I guess my point is in all this is Tarasenko. We should be talking about him like we are McDavid and Crosby. I shouldn't say those guys are going to, like, I should say Tarasenko gets, you know, we'll bring in Tarasenko to play with so-and-so to make them better.
Yep.
It's not happening. So I don't know where they're headed ultimately with this.
And at the start of the year, remember, let's go back to how this great start they had. We were talking about how Tarasenko was involved in the process. He was acting like he wanted to be in the process.
Well, he was, and you could see it on the ice. You could.
That's what I mean.
You could see it. You could see him on the forecheck.
It's night and day right now.
It's
though.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And I hate to say that something becomes a character trait, but if you look at the last 2 years, not including this year, and now this year, it seems to me like Mr. Tarasenko's game starts to go south after the halfway point. It just does.
You're correct.
Right? Like, Cromes, you can jump in on this because I know you're the fan guy on this.
Sure.
But, like, where has he been in the playoffs? Where has he been? Like, the number one thing leading up to play, even last year, everybody's like, where the hell's Tarasenko? You know, like.
Well, what? A couple years, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, he was great in the playoffs.
Well, he was great for one series.
Yeah, against Blackhawks or whoever.
One series.
Yeah.
And then after that, he had nothing.
Yeah. No, So
then you go to leadership, though, Riz, which we're talking about. So back when I played, there was if Jeremy Roenick, and like Holly's a different, you know, you could talk, there's guys that could talk, and like Chaser could talk to Holly, but there was different avenues. Garth Butcher was the captain. He could go in and say, you know, get to him.
Yeah.
Like Jeremy or we had Dirk Graham, he was the captain. It wasn't only one person that had to go talk to him. There was a group because you were all involved in the process.
Well, you're all swimming in the same shit.
You're all in there together.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if then that's why I say when I talk that it's not Petro's fault only, and it's not Steen's. We're like these top six guys, Berglund, these guys have been here. You should be a tight family at this point.
Yeah.
You could pretty well say anything to anyone.
The problem I'm seeing with this, Kimby, is I think those conversations have been had.
You think so?
I mean, how many times can you have that conversation?
No,
that was my point Monday.
The conversations, trust me, they've been had. I'm not going to elaborate too much on it, but the conversations have been had about consistency and the give a shit meter. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's there.
Well, let me give you what I see. And again, I'm the dumb fan. I'll give you that. I'm the dumb fan.
You're dumb.
Okay. Part of that, right?
But I'm sorry. So and again, far. I'm going to jump on the same guys I always jump on. And I'm sorry. And I know what you're going to say. The bottom line is these guys have been here for a little while now. They wear letters on their chest. And you're right. It's not just Petro, but it's all those guys combined. So how do you? And somebody brought this up last night. Okay, somebody brought this up in one of the social media sites, and I got involved in the conversation last night. And they want to hang it on Tarasenko because he's not scoring.
Were you on Pornhub again?
No, I wasn't on Pornhub. Not last night I wasn't.
He's been blocked on that.
So, okay, but people want to get on Tarasenko because he's not scoring. I said, okay, you can get on Tarasenko that he's not scoring, but, you know, that's fine. But what about everything? Well, you can't. And I said, hang on a second. To your point, and you tell me where
Who are you talking about? Let's get it out.
Well, somebody on the news said something about the locker room's not happy with the way Tarasenko's effort is.
They're not.
Okay, and that's fine. So here's my question then. And I'm not either. So here's my thing, though. How the hell are you going to come talk to me about my effort when your effort's not very good?
Well, listen, hang on. Stop there. Because there's guys that are giving the effort that may not be as successful as they should be, and they may not be goal scorers. And I can tell you this. As my career went on, I became a guy. I was in and out of the lineup, okay? But I became a guy that could go and talk to the top players and say, you know, pull your fucking head out of your ass. I'm sitting up in the press box eating popcorn while you're out there getting ice time. And you look like shit. You don't play with heart. You're not doing this. You're not doing this. So there's guys that don't have to be superstars or producers that can call guys out. You have to realize that. And Kimby, you know that. Like, you got, you know, Garth Butcher was a great, but Kelly Chase is another guy, right? Like, you talk about how Chaser never played a huge role as far as goal scoring, all that. Certainly a guy that was counted on, was a big piece of the puzzle. However, he could call out Holly. Yep. And what was Holly going to say in return? Oh, you don't play, you suck? Never did.
But Holly would do it. But that was Holly's mentality. He would fire back at you.
Oh, he would.
But it would register with him.
But he knew the guys who fired at him, and I know I played with Holly a long time.
Yep.
And I played with him at the beginning of my career and at the end of my career. And I saw, you know, the evolution of Brett Hull, and we became good friends and still are. But, you know, even I at times would give it to Holly. He'd fire back a little bit, you know, and then you fire back at him. And he knew at that point, like, he's a smart enough guy to realize, you know, he's got a point here. Mm. So, yeah, he may suck as a player, but he has a good point. I need to be a Hall of Famer at this point.
Yep.
And so my point, I'm not fighting with you just to fight here, Cromes.
And so then we'll go on to the question that you asked, Cromes. What do you do about it? Back in the old day, When this point come along, and if the question, like you said, Rivs has been thrown out there, and people have been basically, I'll use the word challenged. They've been challenged. The conversation, when a person when you're not playing well and a person talks to you, you're being challenged. They're trying to get you going in the right direction. And if you're not responding, because you have your top six, they've been the top six for 3 years now around here, then you need to usually what happened in the past was you'd make one change, you'd get one of the superstars out the door, and it usually, sometimes it would wake up the other guys remaining because the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
No.
And they would wake the hell up, and then that and that there would, could be a trade that could get – and I'm sure Army's – you know, these guys are on top of this. I know where they're at because they know what's going on in the dressing room where I don't know that. But that's sometimes – sometimes you got the salary cap shit going, but sometimes you got to wake an outfit up by doing something that you don't want to do.
The problem here, and I'll say this, is there's only one GM that I can think of recently that's really gone and done that, and that's David Poile with Nashville. And I know people are going to hate to hear that, but he traded Seth Jones, up-and-coming top two defenseman on any team he plays on, for Ryan Johansson. Mm-hmm. Because he needed help at center. Blockbuster trade. He traded Shea Weber for P.K. Subban. Yeah. Took some heat for all that shit. Well, he's smelling like roses right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Shea Weber was the captain. And, you know, one of those guys, like you talk about, he'd be one of those guys that we could use in our locker room. Traded him.
Yeah.
So, but
Chicago did it. Chicago, I read a sod at the top.
Yeah,
of the
no,
game.
I know, but it's not Tarasenko.
You know, I'm not saying that.
So where I'm headed with this is if you wanted to trade Tarasenko.
I didn't say Tarasenko. I'm trying to wake him up.
But what are you going to do? Ultimately, what are you going to do? Because he's got, what, six more years or five more years at like $8.5 million or $9 million a year? Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah. And I don't know if he has a no trade.
He doesn't, actually. I read that in the paper yesterday. Surprisingly, he does not.
I think he has a modified no trade. All that means is he has to be like Rick Nash right now. He'd have to submit a number of teams that he would actually go to.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, who is going to give up something of extreme value in return right now, knowing this guy's history?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You going to bench him? Guess what? You either have the personality that has that screw you, and I'm going to come back and play so hard and so good that you're going to regret doing it, mm-hmm. or you have that personality that says literally just screw you, I don't care.
And that, I'm scared of that.
I'm terrified of that.
Because that attitude is around the league more and more, that attitude is.
Well, with 5 years left at $9 million a year, $8.5 million, whatever the hell it is,
he has a $7.5 million cap hit because his salary fluctuates.
Yeah.
He has a no trade. He does not have any type of no trade. It kicks in 2019.
Okay. So he will have a no trade
but
clause.
Not until 2019.
Okay. So if let's just play, you know, make believe here.
Well, you guys are freaking out a lot of fans.
If I'm you got to think about it here for a second. If I'm playing make-believe land, maybe I'm exploring right now trading Vladdy Tarasenko. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am because his no trade kicks in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the fact that you're limited on time that you can actually maybe get something of value back for this guy. I'm not saying that he can't turn it around, and I'm not saying he's not a great player. All this shit. I always have to have like a disclosure nowadays because people like fail to listen
Did
properly.
You hear Jamie Rivers on Blues NHL?
He thinks Tarasenko sucks. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if this is a pattern that we're recognizing, and if leadership is the problem, you're not – To me, you can't trade Pietrangelo. You can't. He's a minute muncher. He plays in every situation, and I just think that – you can't trade him. Now, anybody can be traded. Wayne Gretzky got traded, right? I get it, okay? But right now, the way it sits, I like Petro on this team. I do. So you're not going to – if you want to shake up your leadership, let's say you move a Tarasenko and you try to find somebody – you know, and I'm not going to say John Tavares. I know you're sitting there with a Woody talking about John Tavares. But he's not being traded, and he's not going to get traded to the Blues. So maybe that's what you're talking about, Kimby. Maybe you make a trade.
I think you do.
Now, do you think that that trade would shake up things in a good way, or do you think it might send people spiraling out of control here in St. Louis?
I don't know, because you live and you know this, Rivs and Cromes, you even know this as you sit there and put that fan hat on all the time. The fans of St. Louis have waited a long time, and the fans of St. Louis are a hardworking group of fans. You know, they pay their damn. They go to work. That's why it was always a joy to play in St. Louis because the fans, they love their muckers. They love their fighters. That's their mentality. They put their 40-hour week in, and they expect you to do the same damn thing. That's all 100%. They ever ask.
Yep.
And that's all they ever ask, and that's why I go back to Holly when him. They expected the man to do it, and the man delivered. They expected Adam Oates to do it. Scotty, you go on down the list, Shanny, you go down the list of these guys. Twister, Chase, they all did their job.
Played their ass off.
And but they always come, and so the fans from St. Louis always knew what the hell was going on.
They weren't able to bring a championship here. So these fans have been more than patient.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're going down now, and we're getting into a phase of the St. Louis Blues, and I'm just telling them when I'm seeing, looking through a damn TV at a hockey team, and I said before many weeks ago, we needed a little shit disturber running around the lineup to wake everybody up, to wake the fans up, because the fans are wanting to cheer, and the room is dead. So,
yeah,
you know, there's six guys that I know, six or seven guys that have been in the top two lines the whole damn time for the last 3 years. They're the guys. And I just, they have to show these fans the respect that they're going to come and put it on the table. And I'm not saying that they're not, the six guys aren't all doing it. That's not what I'm saying. They're coming and going, but some guys, you got to be held accountable in this world, yeah. And that's where we're at.
Well, that's where it goes back to my original, you know, thoughts on all of this, in a nutshell, is I feel like guys are rewarded too quickly in this league right now with long-term deals at big money that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even the superstars of back in the day, 2-3 year deal was like a big extension. Imagine that. Like, yeah. You know, think about those guys now, the Steve Yzermans of the world, the Brendan Shanahans, the Brett Hulls, like the Adam Oates of the world. You don't think they would have knocked it out of the park with fucking term and money? Yeah. Like, come on, right?
Exactly.
But they didn't. They got 2 or 3 year extensions, and that was it. Yeah. And it kept them motivated.
For sure.
Well, I mean, but that's just the changing, with, you know, now with the salary thing.
I know, but it's a joke. It shouldn't happen. The collective bargaining agreement, which they locked out players for an entire season when I played, and almost an entire season again, when they did all that bullshit, it was to make sure that they could keep salaries down and keep teams in better financial shape and eliminate some of the bullshit. And they freaked themselves over because what they've created, instead of holding true to the CBA, where after your entry-level deal, all you need to be offered is a one-year deal every year until you hit free agency. And I'm not saying that that's the recipe for success with every guy, but some of these guys are entry-level deal and they're coming out to a 7-year extension and they really haven't proven shit yet.
Yep.
Right? So now you're stuck with a guy, and it's happening all over the league. Every team almost has a guy that has an extension that they can't get rid of and that's been dog shit for 4 years.
Do you think this conversation that we're having, do you think people in Chicago are sitting there wondering, they got Taze and Kane locked up and they're making $10 million
a year? Keith and Seabrook like all these guys, and I'm not saying they're not good players, but
there's the
shit.
The one side of the fence is they brought him 3 Stanley Cups, but it's how are you doing for me now?
But could you have gotten him with a 4-year extension, 5-year?
I think so.
Instead of 8?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just saying, like, well, and 10, one of them got 10 before they put the rule in of a max of 8.
Yeah.
But wasn't that, but I understand where you're saying that, but from my standpoint, I look at it, the organization tries to do that because the money just goes up. So if I can lock him in now to a long-term deal.
What if he plays like shit for a year?
Well, no, I understand.
Then the money
it's
doesn't
a gamble.
Go up.
It's a complete gamble.
But it's not a gamble because you have a 1-year deal, okay? The CBA doesn't require you to give him more than a 1-year deal. And now the only problem with that is you have to internally be ready to match an offer sheet from another team. So let's say let's use, just for example, Vince Dunn, okay? Because he's on an entry-level deal. You say Vince Dunn's going to be up for a contract. We offer him 1 year, and we give him a bump in pay. But if Dallas Stars come in and they offer him a 5-year deal at $3 million a year, are we ready to match that? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, we are. So now you already know we're going to keep this guy no matter what. However, we're only going to give him maybe a 2-year extension because he's playing well. And I'm not, but 2-year deal at, you know, salary X and Y, you don't have to give him more. So he either takes it, and there's no more sitting at home or holding out anymore. It doesn't happen.
No.
So he has to take that deal. If he doesn't take that deal, where's he going to play?
Right.
Right. And you've put yourself in a situation where you're not married to this guy for 7 or 8 years, and he gives you 3 good years, and the rest is shit.
No, I think you missed my point. What I was saying is it's the owners themselves that give these deals, because what are they worried about? They're worried about that team coming and offering a contract.
I know, and it's the owners themselves that had a lockout, lost a whole freaking season, pissing and moaning about it, and it's the owners who had another lockout for a half a season, and now they've done this to themselves, and every owner, every GM finds a way to try and get around all the rules that they put in place.
Right. That's kind of what I meant. It
drives me nuts. I get heated because it's just so stupid. You have this CBA that you fought for tooth and nail, and you sacrificed revenue and the reputation of the league and your players and all the bullshit, and now you're not utilizing it properly. You're not. You're being irresponsible with it. Go. It freaking pisses me off.
Where you're at, though, Rivs, and where you're going down. So, but look, who are we talking about right now? The main Terry. We're talking Mr. Tarasenko.
Well, we're using him as an example. But like I said, every team has a guy. Look at Chicago. No, Seabrook.
I'm saying Tarasenko, but that's the right guy to be talking about on this team.
I know.
Here's the guy that you went out.
But don't you think we should have kept him motivated?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, this is the guy that you've based your team around.
I know.
And so you've taken and you've given the money. So the ownership, at least the guy should give him the damn respect and the fans. I got to show up every damn night. That's all we're asking now.
Well, they're married to him for another how many years, Cromes? Five?
More than that.
They better go and get a shrink then and counsel the son of a gun.
So well, I don't think he needs a shrink.
He needs something.
Five after this one, yes.
So they got five years.
And this is what I was saying, though. So
5 years of this shit.
So the GMs and the owners.
It's like a bad marriage.
To your point, they gamble, right? It's a gamble. If he reaches his potential and scores these 40, 50 goals, they've got him at a $7.5 million cap hit.
If my aunt was my uncle, she'd have balls.
Well, I know that. But if he does that, then what's he get? Then he gets $10 million, $11
million. Listen.
So that's a gamble. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying.
Listen, the way the CBA is now, I'm sorry. You don't have to gamble. There's a slight risk reward in doing it the way I'm talking about. And the only risk is that another team's going to throw out an offer sheet. If that happens, then guess what? You have a dilemma that you have to deal with. You have to either be ready to match it, which I would imagine the Blues would match an offer sheet on players like that. When his contract came up, there's no way they weren't decided that no matter what, they're going to give him the money to keep him. So if they come in at a 4-year extension with good money, let's say at a $7.5 million salary or eight, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he take that? He would have probably taken that. He would have been forced to without an offer sheet. So then now at this point on that contract, he'd be up again.
Yep.
Guess what? He'd be motivated.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
We're getting now into our innovative segments as we're talking about the entire construction of the team. And I want to ask you some questions and see, you know, we always can count on a possible Twitter alert from you. Sometimes you get a little froggy and like to share some things you shouldn't share.
Froggy. Is that because I speak French?
No, maybe.
I don't think our fans would like that. Kimby, what do you think?
I was going to say something that's not appropriate.
He's going to hold back. He's going to save it for Twitter later.
Yeah, he's going to save it for Twitter later.
Jackass.
But hey, we want to remind you to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there absolutely free. Do your shopping through Amazon. Help us cover some of the production costs. It'd be fantastic if you do that for us. Find us on our social media sites at NHL Show and at STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us on Twitter. Our big ask of you is go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, and go through your list there, and all your friends that are Blues friends, just invite them. You got some closet hockey fans, send them on over here. We'll bring them all the way over to the dark side, I promise you. Find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Part of the lineupmedia.fm network, happy to announce they've just launched Yo Radio. Go ahead and Google that. The new internet
Yo
radio.
Yo Radio.
Yo Radio.
Yo Adrian.
Yo Radio. Again, fastest growing podcast company on the planet, folks. Their media center is just continuing to grow. Make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm. And again, as we move into the second part of this, you know, we start getting into some of the people that make the show possible. Of course, we're talking about Randy and Stephanie Green first and foremost. InnovatedCompanies.com, they've got everything under one umbrella. You got your innovative construction team, residential, commercial, industrial, anything you may need. Heating and cooling problems, make sure you give them a call. You kind of get that this time of year where you go from cold to hot. Kick on that air conditioner for the first time, hopefully here in the next couple weeks. They're your people. Like again, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. And of course, I'm not touching anything that has to do with electricity. I'm calling my friends at the Innovative Company team. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, insured, and just a tremendous human being that his word means everything. As we move into the construction part of this, Mr. Rivers, rumors are flying fast and furious. There's a faction.
Listen,
of fans.
I'm going to clear up a rumor right now.
Okay, what is that?
Darren Kimball was not a woman before.
Twitter alert. Is that our Twitter alert for today?
Twitter alert. He's never been a woman.
Well,
okay.
You know, some of the pictures you guys throw around back and forth on Twitter, you never know what's going to show up.
There's some rumors around, and I seen him walk in high heels pretty damn good. However,
he's awful tall to be walking around in high heels.
Never been a woman.
His wife wouldn't go for that. She's not a very tall lady. If he wore heels, he would absolutely tower over.
Can you imagine how big
now.
Those heels would have
Jesus
to be?
Christ. There'd be wedges, wouldn't
you'd
it?
You'd have a double heel on the back of that thing.
Like those double-bladed skates when those kids learn how to skate.
Can you imagine the veil he'd have to wear?
Let him go on his own, Grooms.
It looked like a mosquito.
I'm not in on this.
Hey, the veil he'd have to wear looked like a mosquito net out in the country.
I, I must say though that the look-alike tweet that went out from our friend Dennis Minner with Minner Arena the other day was pretty good until Mr. Rivers found one a little closer to your resemblance. That was pretty good. But then and I knew the Tanaka was coming though. By the way.
Tanaka. See, he's talking like that now.
Takanta, whatever the hell he is.
He has no idea what he's talking about. Tatanka.
I'm sorry, Tatanka.
Jesus, Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Like we're
that's baseball. It's a baseball pitcher.
There we go again.
See, that's where my mind's already going.
This
that's
is
how
why you can't fly off the handle because well, you lose people. You don't know
don't
what the
care.
Fuck you're saying.
I don't care. I've had, listen. All right, so I have had enough of this roster, so I want some changes. What do you got for us? You want some room? I mean, there's rumors flying around everywhere. And listen, you can deny it all you want, but I keep seeing my Blues attached to Tavares. I don't care what you say.
There's no attachment there. That's called fucking wishful thinking.
Well, I'm a wishful
the Islanders,
thinker.
Listen, okay, truth, and just like I said before about Carey Price, truth is Islanders aren't trading John Tavares. They're not.
Good.
In fact, they're going to make a push. And I mentioned this, what, Monday or Thursday? I don't know what day it was.
You did.
I mentioned saying that they're actually going to make a push to bring in some guys to show John Tavares that he should resign there.
But we'll see if that happens.
They got a good team, though.
They got a good team. They got a good coach. Dougie Waite's a hell of a guy, a hell of a coach.
They're right there on the
let's get off Tavares. He's eating up our airtime for nothing. I love the guy. I'd love to have him, but that's a pipe dream.
I'm more worried about him in the offseason. But for now.
No, there's nothing there.
For now, I'm looking at this thing going, I like what you said Monday. So here's my point. I like where you went with it Monday.
Okay.
All right. You cannot. I've watched the team. I'm frustrated. They're boring to me. I don't even want to watch the games, to be completely honest with you right now, because it's the same thing every night. Even when they do win, it's not good hockey. I'm sorry, it's not. I would love to see Pat Maroon running around here crushing bodies and standing in front of the net and causing havoc and showing guys the way to play. I'd love it. I'd love another winger. I'm not saying Hoffman's as good as Schwartz, but he plays that style. He's going to get in there and do the job and play hard.
He might be in the right setting.
Yeah, he might be. So my point is, I like both those things. Why is this so difficult, though?
It's not difficult, okay? And now here's the thing that people have to remember. The Blues aren't the only ones involved in these sweepstakes, okay? Like, there's other teams that are willing to match the offers or even try to one-up it, and it's a long process sometimes to get a trade done. And people think that you pick up the phone and you're like, if Kimby and I were GMs, you'd be like, hey, Kimby, look, I want to get Pat Maroon. What's your, here's what I'm offering. What do you think? Well, here, no, I'll take this. It's not like you're negotiating for a used car. It just isn't, because there's so much gamesmanship that goes into it. Kimby be like, well, what are you looking to offer? And so you hold your cards close to your chest and you give him kind of a shitty offer, right? Not your top of the line, but he knows I'm going to come back with something better. And then he gives me back a stupid response of wanting too much. Now, I know he's going to come down, but we can't talk. So we just say, okay, well, let's talk to Monday. And it goes from there. So it's a process. It goes like week to week to week. And Patty Maroon, I'll just say this. The deal that's going to get it done for a player like Patty Maroon is you're going to be looking for Edmonton wants a third or fourth rounder in the draft, and they want a rostered player. So someone who can step into their top nine, not a fourth liner that's going to be in. Someone who can step into their top nine, and they want a draft pick out of this. And then they want a guy who's top nine that is expiring on contract, which is important because they don't really want that contract at the end of the season. They don't want that player. What they're really after is the draft pick. Understandably so. You want to continue to build your team. And in this day and age, you're going to have to take back a rostered player because of the salary cap implications. So you take back a guy, player X from the Blues. Let's just say Yashkin. Okay? Let's say Yashkin and a fourth rounder gets it done for Pat Maroon. That's a deal that can happen. Now, what is, Tampa Bay maybe, or somebody else offering for Pat Maroon? Maybe they have something a little bit better. Maybe their GM in Edmonton, Chiarelli, doesn't want to do business with Team X, but he really wants to do business with Army. But now he's got a better offer on the table. He has to keep his options open. So that's why it's not so cut and dry where you pick up the phone and you're like, hey, I want to get this deal done and we're done. No, it doesn't happen that way.
So my question to you then would be this. I understand. A couple weeks away from the trade deadline?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's quite a few games. I mean, so my thing is I understand that the deadlines are there for a reason, like they force everybody's hand, right? And to your point,
that's why everything happens on that one day, because you've put in so much work, and now It's literally like studying for an exam, right? If you kind of put it off, kind of put it off, and then the night before you're like, holy shit, I got to cram for this thing, and you're drinking coffee like crazy. Well, same thing happens with the deadline.
For the past probably month, and then up to the draft, I'm sure Army has two or three guys following each team that he wants to go after. So you're going to get one hell of a report. They're going to know when they're going to take a shit in the bath. They're going to know all this stuff.
Totally.
And so that's what Army – and I don't know who it is, but I'm just telling you where they're hunting something down that they're looking for. So they got their posse out, and that's why they got a lot of scouts around. And this is a busy time of the year for scouts.
It's a crazy time of year, and this is when guys even get hired on as independent scouts for teams to help with the process of gathering independent information on players. Yep. So anyways, my point is that deal – you and I both sit here and go, well, shit, I'd do that deal.
Like, I'd do it right now.
Why can't we make that happen? Well, because there's other players involved. Not hockey players, but GMs. There's other teams involved, and they're looking to do the same thing, trying to make their roster better. Now, the deal that's interesting to me, and that is, I don't want to say it's out there, but it's kind of out there, not necessarily public, but kind of sort of. And the Hoffman deal intrigues me way more than the Nash deal. The reason being is you're getting a player back, in my opinion, that plays with more speed and has some term left on his contract, which means, and it's like acceptable too, I think it's like $5.5 million, right? So now you've got a player that you're not renting. You've got another season out of this guy, and his cap hit isn't through the roof. Now, I think the deal that
gets 5-1.
5-1. So
5-1-8.
I'd take that.
He's got 2 years left on his contract after
that,
this year.
Right? So you get 2 more years. Like, I would make that deal. But now the deal that has to happen, in my opinion, to really take a shot at this guy, is you're going to have to part with a prospect. It's either Thomas or Carew. That's really what you're looking at, okay? I would say you part with Carew. And it's not because I don't think he's a good player. He's tearing up the OHL right now.
Are you saying that Thomas Carew, because that's all somebody would want?
Yes,
because I think Thompson's got to be getting some.
But I don't think the Blues.
They're not going to offer him up, because
they want him to be a part of the future.
He's like, there's potential.
Much upside for Tage Thompson.
But I'm just saying another GM looking at this team.
You're right. And so leading up as we get through this, you're right. So this is part of my point is, so you offer, let's say, Carew. Now they want a rostered player, Ottawa does for sure. That's not going to cost them an arm and a leg. Well, which player on the St. Louis Blues matches Guy Boucher's kind of style that can play that way? Sobotka. Okay? I like Vladdy, and I know a lot of fans, you know, they remember the old Vladdy, and they're like, oh, my God, this guy, we can't get rid of him. You know, he's the heart and soul. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it for, I don't even know if I've seen it for a week in the last.
Not this year.
Right? So, and he's what, $3 million, I think?
$3 million.
So now you get rid of $3 million. You're taking on 5.1. It's pretty good. That's fine. We can do that. That's manageable. We have the cap space to do that. It's manageable. So now you throw in a prospect at that point. Maybe it's Carew. Do you make that deal? There's more to it, but do you make that deal?
I would, but, I mean, again, I would because I'm trusting you that while Carew sure looks – but I've lived through Denny Felsner, and I've lived through Ty Ratty.
Coaching about 3 months ago.
You know, I've lived through. Listen, I'm not criticizing other fans, but it's all sports, and I do the Cardinal thing too. I'm so tired of everybody acting like these guys that put up these numbers in the minors are going to come up here and
they're not.
Some do. See, there's the thing.
I referenced Ty Ratty.
Right.
Because he's the most recent player that the Blues fans can associate
with.
He's not the only one. But you start talking Denny Felsner and all that, you lose some people who may not have a fucking clue just because Denny Felsner never really mounted to the player.
He's going
to
be Mark Messier. I'll never forget it.
He's coaching an 04 AAA team right now.
I remember the media comparing him to Mark fucking Messier.
All right, hang on. Let's stay on topic.
When you're on that, though.
The ADD is splashing around.
Here's where I want to go with this, too. And I agree with you, Riz, where you're going with this. I like it. But I want out of these top six, or I even go top seven, because I think there's seven guys that have been here for a duration. And I think for the Blues to get this rolling, I think two of them need to leave the surface. Two need to get off the roster somehow, In the sense that you're talking, we're trying to get money for money and Pat Maroon and the, I'd even try to get both those guys in here and
well, that's
see, you know,
we can do that.
And I'm trying to get rid of something that's going on, and I wish I was in the dressing room because I know a hell of a lot more. I know how these players react to certain things, and the Swartz guy, he comes back and he shows that he's got it, and Steiner's been around along. He's had it in the past. Has he got, you know? But I'd like to be in the to get a pulse on what's going on, what makes these guys run. Because you're looking through the boob tube and you don't really, you can't get a pulse of that.
You don't get, yeah.
But I think there has to be a shakeup of these top seven guys that have on the forwards that have ran around this.
But there will place. Be. Indirectly, there will yeah. be. Because if you bring in those two players, yeah. they're going to be slotted in the top six.
Exactly.
They are.
But that, and I think that's a big, I think the city of St. Louis would accept that because I think it could get a jump start to this organization.
Well, shit,
right
think
now.
Of the depth you'd have.
For sure.
Right? Think
yep.
of the depth. You bring in Patty Maroon. Well, guess what? One of the top six has to be bumped because yep. Patty Maroon's played with Getzlaff and Perry, and he's played with McDavid and Draisaitl. Mm-hmm. So you don't think he's capable of playing in a top six role? And he's put up 20-plus goals.
Yep. And he's big on the power play for you, too.
He's more than capable, yep. and he's huge in front of the net, and he's got a set of the best hands in the league.
When this whole process is playing out, you know, we talk the top seven, but there's someone that's got to go on that third and fourth line, though, that's got to be a moneymaker.
Got to drop.
You know,
no, but it will be by process of elimination.
What I mean a moneymaker, though, I mean a guy like the guy in Montreal there that just played Chicago. What's his name? Shazi. I'm saying something like that. Not him. Because he's been through the ringer. I need someone that's got some life, and I need someone to run around and cause some shit. And I think that I don't care if you want to stick him on the third or the fourth line. I don't care.
But
where
I think
he goes
if you bring
lineup.
In a Patty Maroon, Kimby.
But Patty,
now listen, no.
Patty's a big guy that takes up a lot of space.
No, but
he owns the corners.
I'm not finishing here. You bring in a guy like Patty Maroon, and I think what it does is the light gets greener for guys like Upshaw and Brodziak yeah. and those guys to run around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They used to do it a lot more too, if you yeah. notice, because they had big Ryan Reeves
exactly.
batting cleanup, right?
Yep.
Well, they don't have that now, so it's a little more difficult.
Yep.
So you bring in Patty Maroon. Guess what? He's going to bat cleanup, especially to the end of the season. He's a new guy coming to the St. Louis, his hometown. If you run around and he doesn't clean up the mess, he's going to look like a fool.
Exactly.
So I just think
that agree with you there.
Process of all elimination right. on all this is if you bring guys in, it changes the makeup of the lineup automatically.
Yeah.
Without having to do too much.
Yeah. You need to do something. They need to do something.
Let's go on the bench with Butter here then. Tax Resolution by Tommy Brown. That's not his website anymore. He's working on it. He'll have it for us. But he is your guy for taxes and keeping you out of hot water with the IRS, helping you with your own business. Use your money wisely, help grow your business versus just give it away. So, we'll hear from Tommy on Monday. He's hoping to have his website finished by then. So I'm going to put you guys on the bench then.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
That's
say,
where we're used to being yeah. anyway.
You always say you're used to being in the press box.
Yeah, so it starts in the bench and then it goes
to
the press box.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Upgraded.
Let's say we hypothetically make these trades. Give me your lines then. Put your lines together. Let's start with the top line.
That's a hard one to go, Crump.
Well, no.
You gotta see what you're getting. Are you taking – who are you bringing in? Patty and
Hoffman? I think you go Stastny, Hoffman, Tarasenko, two shooters and a passer. Your second line becomes Patty Maroon, Shen, and Schwartz. So you have a big, big body out there. Shen plays a good game, yep. too. Schwartz, he's a little water bug out there. And Patty Maroon, Shen, and Schwartz can all finish. So I think that's your second line. I think your third line, Steen. Berglund, Thompson, because I think you need to keep him going. And then your fourth line falls into Brodziak, Upshaw, and then, you know, whatever you want to slot in there on the other side. And this is assuming that Sobotka and Yashkin would be dealt in this deal. So that's my lines.
Yeah, I'd go there.
I'd go there, too. Will Steen play third line? He'll probably do whatever you ask him.
Well,
to do,
right
he
now,
not?
He'll be forced to do whatever he's told, right? Like, you don't consult with these guys. It just is what it is. But can you imagine a power play now where you'd have Hoffman and Tarasenko. First of all, we know Tarasenko doesn't like to play the offside for the one-timer. Hoffman loves it.
Yep.
And he's got a bomb. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine setting up Hoffman on one side? So now they're going to have to key on that guy because he's going to bring the heat whenever he can. He starts to get covered. Now you pass to Tarasenko, who can bring the heat from the other side. Mm-hmm. You've got two guys who are legitimate goal scorers in the NHL. Your power play just got so much better overnight.
Both guys would be on your top power play unit, would they not?
Who would you put in front?
Patty Maroon. So both guys would be on your top power play unit right now, would they not?
100%. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
100%. You'd have to.
I just got to find a way that when we make the deal, we got to slide Mr. Berglund in the deal so we can go with him.
You know what, though, Kimby? You say that, but when you look
I've said it all goddamn year.
But listen to me for a second.
And last year.
When you look at the deals that we just put in place and you look at the lineup that I just put in front of you, it makes more sense to keep him in a third line role right now. You're not going to get the value back. Put your GM hat on, big as it may be. Put your GM hat on.
And he doesn't fit in my GM hat.
So he does.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
He doesn't.
If you took emotion out of this, he would.
It's not emotion.
He would.
I see what I see.
Well, who do you put in his spot then?
I just get rid of it. I'll put a young guy there.
But why?
I'll get someone there.
Why?
I'll get someone there. So I don't like him.
You're not thinking.
No, I am.
No.
I am.
No.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you guys, I love the back and forth. I love the talk. As we're winding down the show here, let's see what's going on in our amateur hockey world. I know you guys are coming up. These are your big-time tournaments coming up. It's that end of season for you guys. You just had a great event here in St. Louis. Mick Light from Art City Sports covered it. So let's go now to our SynergyHockeySkills.com amateur report. And, of course, we're also talking about the other amateur family in St. Louis that you can't forget. NelsonLandServices.com, the Nelson family, so instrumental in amateur hockey. If you need anything done with your landscaping, they do some tremendous work. I know you've seen their handiwork down at the Ozarks. They're trying to grow their business here in St. Louis and have asked us to get the word out. If you're at the rink, I guarantee you've seen them. Scott and Stephanie, tremendous people. NelsonLandServices.com, five-star rated landscaping company. Professional landscaping at reasonable prices. Give them an opportunity. And, of course, you can't talk amateur hockey in this town without talking about SynergyHockeySkills.com. Mr. Henson was singing your praises again on Monday, which is always easier to do when you're not here, Mr. Rivers. But
wife, she talks nice about me when I'm not around.
Well, how much you've done for McKendree?
No, she doesn't.
That's a good point. Good point.
How much you've done for his ability to turn McKendree Hockey into really a destination school in Lebanon, Illinois, from all over the world, basically. So, all right, so what do you guys got going? I mean, I know enough about it to be dangerous to know, like, this time of year some of the bigger tournaments are happening. You guys have some travel involved and things like that. And
well,
I know,
levels.
Like, the Pee-wees and things go to, the, you know, they have the Quebec tournament and things like that. So what do you guys got going?
Well, that's first thing, let's get that out of the way, is the 2005 AAA Blues team has gone up to the Quebec International Tournament, which is quite the event. It is probably the premier event that you can be a part of as a Pee-wee hockey player. So I participated in the tournament eons ago, and it was a big deal back then, and it's even become more of a big deal from teams all over the world. And we've managed to send a team every year. Kimby, your guys were there, what, last year?
Last year we went, yeah.
Last year, and it's a phenomenal event, so we wish our 2005 AAA Blues team nothing but the best. And I know they'll do us proud. They got a hell of a team there, and they're coached by former Blues player Mike Zook. Robbie Shearer, who's a local guy, and Mike Richards, who's a local guy as well.
Mr. John Wenzik's up there with him, too.
That's The Wire. Guy. He's like the mayor of Quebec City up there. It's really quite impressive.
And he's got then the first lady, Rhonda. She's loved up there, too, Rhonda.
She is, so. And for good reason, too, because she's had to put up with Wire for all these years.
Well, you played in Quebec, Darren. That was a night. That was a great trip for you, last year as well, I know.
Even when I played there, it was when I went back the last year, Lawson, you went down and with the family, and they took you around Quebec, and I seen stuff that I didn't see when I was a young kid. Obviously, you're the young
kid, and you probably wouldn't have, right? Like, think about it.
Just going down, but what a town that is! That Quebec City is beautiful in the wintertime, and it just, as far as Canada goes, and you're out there, and you got the river going there, and it's just beautiful.
You realize when you were playing up there, you know, between all your time at the rink and the local pub, you probably should have got out and seen a little more.
I should have winded a little bit more.
But what else? What do your guys' teams have going?
Well, we've got playoffs coming up here. Tier 1 Elite League, the AAA League. We have playoffs coming up in Blaine. I don't know if you guys are headed to Blaine or not, but that's coming up for a number of teams that are playing AAA hockey. We have regionals and nationals that are coming up very shortly. You know, for Central States, AA and all that, their playoffs are right around the corner. They're coming up, so every program in St. Louis and probably across the USA right now is coming to a peak where big tournaments, playoffs, championships, nationals, those things are all coming into play. So is exciting times for youth hockey.
You got high school playoffs are going on right
high school
now.
Hockey
all
coming
the,
up.
All the house teams got their double A's and all that. And then, you know, where Rivs is at right now, see, where the second year Bantam is when you start going and chasing the national things around. So our kids will go. We only got one more tournament. Our kids go to Vegas next week, I think. And
oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm staying here, though. I got to work. So
I'll go for you.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so
we'll go back again for you.
I think the best year is when you get to where Rivers' kids are going to be at. They get that first time to really chase a national title would be something to hold dear to your heart when you get older. So, yeah. You know, that's when the kids start to get excited when they play the playoffs.
Lou Koric, Hutton off first. He goes tonight.
Oh, boy. Well, there it is.
There's the answer to the question. Well, great stuff as always from you guys. I appreciate you coming in. I know the fans do as well. I want to thank everybody for joining our show this week. We're going to have an interesting little tease here. You may have, if you're paying any attention at all, you realize that Mr. Rivers is somewhat of a rock star throughout the, has got an interesting list of, well, I tell you what, if
I
you
got
ever,
a few names in my role.
I was going to say, if you ever steal his phone and look at his contacts, it'd be like, what industry were you in again? Was it hockey or were you involved in some other industries? But he's got an amazing, Rolodex, so to speak. And we have an interesting guest that we're going to have on. We're going to actually interview him today. We're going to play it on our Monday edition because you'd rather hear this than hear from me. Rantigan, I'm sure. So, therefore, we're going to do this. And it's an interesting – why don't you tell our listeners who we're going to have on, and I can give you any backup you need because unbeknownst to Mr. Kimball over here, my wife is a huge fan, and that's how I'm aware of who he is. And I'm not ashamed to say I've watched the show before because there's some – Nice ladies on there. So go ahead.
Well, we're going to have our good buddy Jax Taylor on. He's part of the crew that's in Vanderpump Rules, a Bravo show, which is run by our buddy here, Andy Cohen, from St. Louis. So there's some interesting stuff that people probably don't know about our buddy Jax, and we're going to talk to him today because he's a real big hockey fan. And he's got some pretty good insight on the goaltender position and things like that. So he might be able to shed some light on our goaltending thing and other things as well.
You know, interestingly enough, people, I guarantee you, some of our hockey fans probably went, wait a minute, timeout. I turned into the Blues NHL podcast, and I got Jamie Rivers telling me he's going to bring on Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules. Interestingly enough, if you go to his Twitter page, his Twitter profile picture is a picture of, I'm assuming that's him, as a youngster.
Yeah.
Playing goalie.
Well, that's where we're going to get
that.
He's
got his coho blocker. He's got his heat and goalie pads. And he's got that look. So
from the Michigan area.
This will be interesting. My wife will probably be unhappy that I did not invite her into the studio today, much like most of the wives probably will be. But I'm looking forward to this because I have seen him tweet some stuff out. He is a hockey guy. He loves his hockey. So, and Andy Cohen, like you said, is a local guy. And if you know him, we need to get him on here sometime because he does. He loves his
St. Louis
stuff.
He's a little tougher.
Well, he's a little busy.
Yeah, he's slightly busy running the world of Bravo TV there.
So I'm excited about that. So, again, I look forward to seeing that. And I know we'll get some play out of that one for sure with our social media partners. Special thanks to them again, as we couldn't do it without them. Your friend, Mick Light, who, like I said, if it's involved with sports here in this area, he's covering it. It doesn't matter, all the way from Cardinals Blues down to – I thought it was great him coming out and getting pictures and sharing.
Fantastic job.
I'll
tell you what, the fans, the parents and friends and all that loved his work on the games that he did here. He does a fantastic job. So
yeah, Art City Sports, he's grown that thing into a mammoth deal too, by the way. St. Louis Blues hockey memes, love those guys, love Dennis and everything he does. St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, been with us since the beginning, our newest member, everything STL Sports. Again, make sure you check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at NHL Show, at STL Blues Podcast. Find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, and, of course, Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast as well. LineupMedia.fm, thank you for everything you do. Our producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, all the behind-the-scenes work to make the show sound minorly professional. And, of course, the real talent of the show, former Blues Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball. Thanks, fellas, and we'll see what's going on next week. Going to get out of here and get on to the second interview that we will air on Monday. But let's hope we can get this Blues thing turned around again. It's Carter Hutton and Nets tonight. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.